connect with them, and all those other things. You know, so often, that's often lost. You know, the inner life of an issue often is lost because we sort of get caught in sometimes our superficiality, we get caught in the trappings of that issue. So it comes to the Yadus as well. You know, there's so much energy that's spent on the outer trappings of what it means to be a Jew, on external issues. There's so much back and forth in newspapers about open orthodoxy and things of that nature, and all those issues are important. But sometimes just the inner life, the inner world of what it means to be a Jew, of what it means to connect to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of what it means to be people of faith, of what it means to really feel the life of a Jew. So often those things are missing, those things are absent, and we just sort of deal with the outer shell or the external issues. So in that note, I want to discuss a little bit about the issues of faith, cultivating faith, challenges of faith, and how in a way we can tackle and approach and connect to Emunah on maybe a deeper level than we often allow ourselves to. This issue of Emunah, and I apologize, by the way, my wife always tells me to never apologize while giving shiurim, but this might be one of the few areas I don't listen to my wife about. I left the source sheets in my office in YU. This issue of Emunah is something that, looking around the room and seeing so many familiar faces, Abby and others, I'm sure that you're well familiar with this issue. But this issue of Emunah, of course, goes all the way back to the beginning of time, to the beginning of the Jewish people, but was discussed very, very fundamentally and very prominently by the Rishonim. And even the question about whether or not there is a mitzvah to believe, about the nature of the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, even that is something that the Rishonim debated at great length. And there seems to have emerged three basic positions in the Rishonim. One position, of course, is the position of the Rambam. Anybody know what the Rambam says about the issue of faith? Anybody? I'm sure all of you know. So the Rambam said, and the Rambam's very confusing, the Rambam said in the Mishnah Torah that Yesod HaYesodos, that the most fundamental Yesod is Leida, is to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. And the Rambam said that this idea of Anochi Hashem Elokecha is an absolute mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rambam discusses this in many places. And therefore, belief in God to the Rambam is an absolute imperative, it's an absolute obligation, and the way that the Rambam expresses that mitzvah is Leida, to know that God exists, and the Rambam says that in a number of places. Anybody know a problem with this Rambam, or a challenge to this Rambam, or why this Rambam is confusing? The Rambam says again in the Mishnah Torah, that Yesod HaYesodos, it's fundamental that every person Leida has to know that God exists. Now what's confusing the Rambam, for those who might be aware, is that the Rambam has a very different language in the Sefer HaMitzvos. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, I mean, know what the Rambam says there, the very beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah l'ha'amin, it's a mitzvah to believe that God exists, which seems to be very different than leida, to know that God exists. So the Rambam one place says l'ha'amin, to believe, another place the Rambam says leida, to know. Does anybody know a way of resolving the Rambam? The Rambam, again, appears to be different in two different places. Do we have to know that God exists, or do we have to believe that God exists? So some people resolve the Rambam, and this is discussed by Rav Shach and his Sefer and the Avi Ezri, is that really the Rambam requires both. Now, quite honestly, no offense to Rav Shach. Rav Shach, I come up to Rav Shach's, you know, pinky nose, whatever you want to call it. But I'm not totally sure if this is exactly what the Rambam meant. By the way, this, anybody know the common answer given to this? It's sort of like a very, I wouldn't say it's a simple answer, but it sort of resolves any real conflict. Okay, anybody know what language was the Mishnah Torah written in? Anybody know it was written in Hebrew, okay? And the Sefer HaMitzvos was written in Arabic, along with the Mor Nebuchim and other Sfarim as well. And some people claim that when Ibn Tibbin came and he translated the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, so he translated it, I'm not going to try to say what the word is, whatever the Arabic word was to know, Ibn Tibbin came and translated it to believe, l'ha'amin, and that's what sort of started this firestorm of confusion in the Rambam. But if you go back to the original Rambam written in Arabic, the word the Rambam uses there also is leida, is to know. But anyway, assuming that we do have this conflict, do we have to know that God exists? Do we have to believe that God exists? So Rav Shach believed that this was a conflict. And Rav Shach said it's really both. A person, according to the Rambam, has to begin with trying to know God, to rationally know God, to know that God's there, to be able to prove that God is there. That has to be a real Yediyas Hashem. Now, all of us understand that there is a limitation to our knowledge of God's existence, or that God even exists, and that's therefore the point when belief takes over. We can know that God exists up until this point, and from that point forward, there has to be emunah. But either way, according to the Rambam, it is absolutely clear, absolutely definitive, that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and for the Rambam, probably the most important mitzvah d'oraisa, of belief in God and knowledge of God's existence. Okay, anybody want to disagree with the Rambam? Or that's a strong statement. Anybody know who disagrees with the Rambam? What's that? So the Ramban, sort of, what's her name?
Gabriella.
So Gabriella said the Ramban. Anybody wanted to sort of make a caveat to what Gabriella said? If I ever ask you who disagrees with the Rambam, it's always like it's a safe bet to say the Ramban or the Ravid. So I'm sure you knew that anyway, but even if you were just guessing, it was a very intelligent guess.
What's that? Not a mitzvah,
he just
said it's the foundation of
the mitzvah. Right. So the caveat is the following. By the way, the proofs of the Rambam has many, many proofs that in fact it is a mitzvah, one of which is the Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos and Daf Kof Dalid. So the Gemara says that how do we know there are 613 mitzvahs? See, if I ask any of you, right, how many mitzvahs there are, all of you would say 613 mitzvahs, but we really don't know that from anywhere. The Torah never says that. No one ever says that. But the Gemara in Mako says that there are 613 mitzvahs. Where did we get that from? Because the word, again, I'm not a huge Gematria fan, but the Gemara itself uses the Gematria. The word Torah is 611. And then the Gemara says, but we also have the two mitzvahs that God gave directly, Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Siyeh, etc., etc. So Gemara there seems to assume that Anochi is one of the 613 mitzvahs. And then, as you well know, the big debate since then is to try to figure out what are those mitzvahs? What qualifies as a mitzvah? And that would seem to be a proof, again, that Gemara, that belief in God is a mitzvah. The Gemara says that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is one of the 613 mitzvahs. Now, the Ramban, what Gabriella said, disagrees, but he doesn't exactly disagree. Right? What happened is, anybody know sort of the history of this Ramban? What happened was that somebody who preceded or predated the Rambam was someone by the name, someone that most of you have heard of, by the name of the Bahag. Bahag was the Baal Hilchos Gedolos. He also wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. And the Bahag does not include belief in God as one of the mitzvos. He leaves it completely blank. And the Ramban comes, and even though the Ramban himself believes that belief in God or knowledge of God is a mitzvah, the Ramban comes to try to explain this position of the Bahag. Why would the Bahag and why would others leave out and leave off belief in God as a mitzvah? That would seem to be so obvious and so fundamental. So why would the Bahag not include belief in God? So the Ramban said that it must be, Gabriel, I think you said this, right? That it must be that belief in God is not a mitzvah, right? It is not a specific mitzvah, but it is the foundation of all other mitzvahs. Because we didn't believe that God was there, we didn't believe that God cared, we didn't believe that God was a mitzuveh, commands us, so why would we do any mitzvahs? So therefore, belief in God is not a mitzvah, it's the foundation of all other mitzvahs that the whole Torah sort of evolves from. Right? I mean, you think about, anybody here, a parent? No, nobody? Okay. So hello in the back. So I don't know, you don't look like you have kids old enough yet to completely disagree with everything you've said, Baruch Hashem, you'll get there eventually. But, you know, if you have like a child, and the child doesn't have some sense of sort of the ultimate authority of the parents, Tali, and maybe you've been in my house before, so you know my children actually lack that specific quality, but there's still hope in the future. So if your child does not recognize the ultimate authority of the parent, so why then should they care if my parent asks me to do my homework or clean up my room or do this or anything else? So you sort of need that ultimate authority for anything to make sense. So to hear as well, the ultimate authority of God for anything makes sense. and that's the position of the Ramban and the Bahag. Okay, everyone have that so far? But so if you just read through the Pesukim, what makes more sense, the position of the Rambam or the Ramban? Would it make more sense based on the Pesukim that Amunah is a mitzvah or is not a mitzvah? Anyway? Yeah?
Probably that it is because
I'm in the 10,
so.
Right. So there's actually a very good discussion, and I recommend you look at the Ibn Ezra, about exactly that. How do you count the Aseret Dibros? So where do you sort of begin the Aseret Dibros from? The Ibn Ezra actually starts the Aseret Dibros from after Anochi, because Anochi itself, Anochi Shalokecha, it doesn't sound like a mitzvah. It doesn't sound like a commandment. It's a statement of fact, but it doesn't sound like the normal language of a tzivoy, of a commandment, and therefore, to some degree, the position of the Bahag, as explicated by the Ramban, maybe makes a little more sense. But it is, does seem like it's part of the 10 also. So that's also, that would be true. Okay, anybody know a third position? The position of the Rambam, a position of the Bahag as understood by the Ramban. Anybody know a third position that might exist? It would seem like there's only two possibilities. Either you do have to believe in God, or there's no mitzvah to believe in God. There's a third position, which is discussed by Rav Chasdai Kreskes. Rav Chasdai Kreskes is one of the great Spanish Rishonim. I'm not sure how many of you have learned about him, about his life, but he was the major Rishon who lived in Spain during the Inquisition. Rav Chasdai Kreskes wrote a very famous sefer in philosophy, right, called Maase Hashem. And Rav Chasdai Kreskes says that in reality, the Torah cannot really command, anybody know the way to finish the sentence? It can't really command beliefs. It can't really command thoughts. It can't really command emotions. The Torah can tell you what to do and what to say and how to act and how to give tzedakah and how to do a thousand other things. But the Torah can't tell you that there is a mitzvah to believe or to feel anything, right? And therefore, you can't say that one of the 613 mitzvahs is belief in God. And this is an idea that Chasdai Kreskes has in many places. Now, anybody here have a problem with, yeah, Rachel?
Oh, I was just going to say that you could repeat this with a lot of different
mitzvahs. Sure. Exactly. And this, by the way, would sort of feeds into a little bit of this feeling that we have that Jews are into action, Christians are into belief, etc. But we really know that's not true, right? You have to love God, and you have to fear God, and you have to do this, and you have to love your neighbor, you have to, you know, all of these things seem like feelings and emotions. And the Chasdai Kreskes in each place would sort of explain why it's really not just about a feeling or a belief, it's really about something else. But anybody know this Chasdai Kreskes? Sounds like what famous idea? Anybody even have like a sort of like a remnant of a famous idea by the Ibn Ezra? Anybody know him? So probably the most famous Ibn Ezra. Okay, you want to?
I was going to say it kind of reminds me of like, I don't know what the phrase is, but if you just like your beliefs follow your actions.
Right, right. So to some degree, that's sort of from the Sefer Chinuch. Right? Sefer Chinuch always says that achar hamaisim, that once you do an action, so the beliefs follow. But that Sefer Chinuch would seem to imply that beliefs, what's your name?
Talia.
So it's a beautiful point that beliefs are also mandatory, but the way of developing beliefs is by acting. You know, the famous idea of like Rav Dessler about you want to love somebody, you give to them, etc. But the emotions and the feelings are important. The way of coming to those emotions might be through action, right? But it's not to say that it's not an obligation per se, but that's a very beautiful idea. The one thing that I was thinking is in Ibn Ezra, that probably most of you know, Ibn Ezra asked the question by lo sachmod, that I can't feel jealousy of somebody else. So Ibn Ezra asked the question, how can the Torah come ahead and tell you not to feel jealousy? Right? It can tell you to not steal and not beat up and not this and not that. But how does the Torah tell you don't feel jealous? That's not sort of something the Torah can be mechayev a person. But again, in the Ibn Ezra, people may know the answer to the question. Ibn Ezra says, no, it's not true. Right? You can command people's feelings. And the challenge is, sort of how you're saying, is how do we bring ourselves to that emotional state? But that's a little bit like that question of the Ibn Ezra. Okay? Everyone so far so good? Yeah, please.
So what was the
Ibn Ezra's answer is essentially that his question is, well, how can you mandate emotions? And the answer is, well, you can mandate emotions. Right? If a person trains themselves enough. Anybody know the example that Ibn Ezra gives? If you have, let's say, forget about the, I'm not to mention a movie in this setting. Okay, forget about the movie Aladdin that came out around the time that you guys were born, where, you know, the lowly pauper marries the beautiful princess. Ibn Ezra says, every lowly pauper knows they're never marrying the princess, right? And therefore, you don't sit around thinking your whole life, oh, I should be marrying the princess, and I should be marrying. No, it's just, you know, you can train yourself in your thinking. Right? You can train yourself how to be jealous and how to love and how not. A little bit sort of like what Talia was saying before, the Ben Ezra says, no, there's a way of training thought patterns and belief patterns and emotional patterns as well. And that, again, this sort of ties into this sort of Kasdai Kreskes. So those are three major opinions. What time is this over, by the way? Anybody know what time 12 hours over? What's that?
3:30.
Okay, so I'm going to just ask, so we're like, this is a topic that, as you can probably know, is thousands upon thousands of pages I've been written on. So we're not going to have time to go through everything now. So if you have any questions, if you could just sort of hold it, ask the last question and hold them to the end. Okay, please.
I feel like there are some mitzvot, though, that you can't do without a belief in God, like Shabbat, let's say. Like, it's hard to stop your business for a whole day
right.
without believing in
the totally.
God.
Right. So Kasdai Kreskes, by the way, was a deeply believing person, and he believes, any Jew believes in the idea of belief. The question is making that mandatory, making that a mitzvah. You know, the Rambam says, for those who were in Haas this summer, kind of a couple of you came to the shiur I gave on this topic, you know, the Rambam says that if you don't have a certain belief in God, you don't get into Olam Haba, right? You don't get, so the Kasdai Kreskes simply would not go that far to mandate belief in that type of way, but he does agree with you that belief is obviously critical. Okay? Now, the question that's been discussed, basically since the dawn of this issue about belief in God, is really a very fundamental question, and it's something that probably, if you think about it in your own life, very much sort of affects the way that you relate to God and think about God, and as much as you think about it, issues of emunah. And that's very simply the question as far as what is the appropriate way of us believing? What's the appropriate venue? What is the appropriate mahalach? That's not a great word. But what is it? Okay, I know that you have to believe in God, right? But what type of belief should a person aspire to?
Right.
What should a person aspire to as far as their belief in God? And this issue, you may be looking at me like, what type of question is that? But I think it's probably something that you're aware of and something I want to discuss just very simply for the next few minutes. There is that school of thought that believes that the only real way of belief in God is through, anybody know the way to finish the sentence? Is through really looking into, through delving into, through perhaps a rational proof to God's existence, through trying to prove that God exists, through trying to, like a depth of a belief, right, of needing to really get to the bottom of an issue, to really deeply believe, like through thinking and through investigation and through study and through philosophy, right, and that's really the key word, through philosophy about God's existence. Now, anybody know who sort of is the author of that school of thought? Anybody know who believes that? That emunah cannot be simple, I believe, and that's it. But emunah needs to be something that is deeply thought out, it's rational, it's proven, it's all of those things. What's that? So the Rambam, is that the Rambam? So the Ramchal sort of is not exactly clear how he believes on this. The Ramchal, as you probably know, is a very, very complicated person. The Ramchal was a philosopher, and he was a rational thinker, but he was also a Kabbalist. So he has like all sorts of different strands within him. But we'll just identify it as the school of thought of many of the Rishonim, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Bachya, Rabbeinu Bachya wrote, the Chovos HaLevavos, the Sefer HaChinuch, and others. They all believed that emunah, that knowledge of God, has to be something that is thought out, thought through, often philosophically based. Something worse, someone walks in like halfway through and then the person like calls out to them, but anyway, who was, we apologize. But it has to be something that is very much thought out, thoughtful, rational based, and can't be in any way simple, right? And that's the position again of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya goes so far to say that a person is committing like an Aveira, and a person is living a life of ignorance, and even like a life of sin, so to speak, if a person does not engage in a depth of thought about God, about a deeper understanding of God, a philosophical understanding of God. So the Sefer HaChinuch, he says, it's still a mitzvah to believe in God if you just have simple faith, but he says, but it's an emunah mishubachas. It's an emunah that is praiseworthy if a person really is involved in mechkar, which is thinking, which is rational philosophy, which is depth of understanding. And the Rambam says this in many, many places. The Rambam actually has, I can't think the last time I actually saw a piece of chalk. It's like there's no chalk left in the world. Yeah, the Rambam has like some image of like of this is a really awful picture of like a castle, right? But if you like a castle or a palace, the Rambam says the Mardavuchim, that you have some people who are out here, they're like sort of like working in the garden, and they're very nice, you know, nice people working in the garden, and they do mitzvahs very simply with like a munim pshuta, and then you go sort of further up the palace. On the top of the palace, the Rambam says, is the philosopher, right? Is the person that has a very, very clear idea, a clear knowledge of God's existence. He's thoughtful, he's philosophical, he's a deep thinker, etc., etc. And that is position, again, of those who showed him that I mentioned. Okay, now, okay, everyone hear that? Okay, anybody know who disagrees with the Rambam? The Rabban, I don't know. Okay, the Rabban's an easy answer. But certainly, the entire mystical tradition. Anybody know the names of some people who are sort of the forefathers of the mystical tradition? That, and anybody know, by the way, when sort of the mystical tradition began, Kabbalah? It really came very much as like a response to sort of the Rambam and others. So people like the Ramban, and people like the Raivin, and Rabbeinu Gershom, and many other people, they felt that they didn't like the direction that the rational philosophers were taking Judaism in. Much of Jewish rational philosophy was based on Islamic ideas of philosophy. And they had sort of like a response back to the Rambam. Now, many people are in this category. I'll just mention a few. The Rashba was not a Mekubal, but he believed like the Mekubalim in this area. The Rivash, the Vilna Gaon, the Ramban in certain ways. And many, many, many others after that point said, this mahalach by the Rambam is not appropriate. This philosophical mahalach by the Rambam. Now, you don't want to give me an example of where we see this rational knowledge of God? Anybody know one of the proofs the Rambam himself mentions? So, a very famous proof of the Rambam, then we'll move on, is the idea of the watchmaker. Right? The idea of the watchmaker, if you see a watch that's on your wrist, if you see anything that's made in this world, so we know that didn't come ipso facto, it didn't just sort of like appear in your arm, a watch didn't get made just out of nowhere. The Rambam said that every single thing that's created in this world has a maker, has a creator. If that's true, the world as well. Right? We can rationally understand that God's existence, because if the world is here, so ipso facto, there must be a creator of that world, and on and on and on, sort of the various rational proofs up to that effect. Now, many people, as I said, disagreed with the Rambam. And they disagreed with this entire approach. And they said that this is not the appropriate mahalach in how to think about God. Now, anybody know why not? What would be the argument against the Rambam? Belief, faith, doesn't have to be philosophical, it doesn't have to be, you know, something in conflict. But belief should be very, very simple. Think about your great-grandmothers. A very simple faith. Right. Okay. So the answer given by many of the Rishonim, the Acharonim, is really many. One is that if, let's say, you build Judaism around rational thinking and rational philosophy, and then all of a sudden you come to something that you don't understand, at the end of the day you can't really prove that God exists. At the end of the day you can't really prove that God spoke at Har Sinai. You can't really prove that Torah Shebal Peh works with Torah Shebal Ksav, but your whole life was based on being sort of a rational, thoughtful, reasonable person. So what happens to all of your faith? What happens to everything if it's based on the construct of rational thinking? Okay? And therefore, said the Rashba and others, it's better not to even go down that path. Because all you do by going down that path is making yourself confused, making yourself become a disbeliever, and many people believed exactly that. Now, anybody know another reason that people did not like this Rambam? Please.
In a way, like, rationalizing it makes it sort of belittles it. Like, it's right. Beyond something that you can try to understand.
Okay, so there's many, many people that discuss this issue, and I think you have in the base medrash here, I've seen it here before. There's a very, very important sefer by the Kovet, I'm sorry, by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. I'm sure most of you heard of Chanan Wasserman. So he wrote a sefer, I mean, what's called? Called the Kovetz Ma'amarim. And he has something called Ma'amar al-Emuna, where he discusses essentially that how can you ask, and listen to this point, how can you ask a child to be a ma'amin, right? You ask a child who's 7 years old or 8 years old or 13 years old to have a emuna, where if you go up to Harvard or to Yale, and you see all these people got 1600 on SATs, and these super thoughtful people and smart people and geniuses, they don't believe in God. So how can we go ahead and ask a child to have belief? So Rechana Wasserman pointed out is that the real emunah that a person should have is the emunah of a child. A child naturally, at age 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, believes in God, believes clearly in God. I have a son who Bachelor just left, and Dasi and many others know, he's now 17 years old, and every single year, he used to pack his bag on Pesach afternoon, before the first day of Pesach, because he was absolutely convinced until his bar mitzvah, the Mashiach was coming that night. So he would pack up, and he would get out of his suitcase, and he would this, and he's like, making his to-do list, what do we have to do, we're going to, right? So now if you tell him this, I think he'd be like a little embarrassed, but the point is that a child has a natural emunah. What happens is that over a period of time, a person becomes sort of very rational, and very conceptual, and very into philosophy, and all those things only obscure the natural faith that a person is supposed to have. But the beautiful faith, the natural faith, is not the faith that's conceptual, it's not the faith that's rational, but it's the faith of that 8-year-old child packing a suitcase, because that's really sort of the pure emunah, and everything else sort of taints and diminishes that emunah that a person is supposed to have. So those are the sort of the two major schools of thought, the Rambam, Sefer HaChinuch, and many others, and then the Rashba, Rivash, Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, by the way, all of you know, was not a shy person. The Vilna Gaon, he didn't mind taking on anybody. He would take on Moshe Rabbeinu. And everyone always writes about the Rambam, especially the Achronim, with such deference. Oh, the Rambam, the Rambam. But the Vilna Gaon, writing in the 1700s, makes comments about the Rambam. Well, the Rambam is completely, he's become so connected to the philosophers that his whole philosophy has become completely off. And it's because he only cares about the philosophers. I mean, so there are many people later who are very critical of this rational philosophy, rational understanding of God. We'll take a comment back here, please.
Yeah, just about the child's simple faith. I mean, is this a little bit disconcerting? Because we tell a 5-year-old there's a flying elephant, like, flying around a castle, like, 2 blocks away. And they'll be like, oh, really?
Right.
So how do we...
Okay, so what are you? What's your name?
Liara.
Liara. Okay, so what Liara is mentioning, and I just want to just a little short in time. What Liara is mentioning is really the real quandary and really the real conundrum that any person should be thinking of. Right? These are the two schools of thought that have been brought down throughout the years. Right? You have the school of thought, Liara, right, of rational thinking of God, conceptual thinking of God, conceptual thinking of Judaism, and then the school of thought of Emunah Pshuta. And I think what all of us recognize, and I think if I would just ask you to stop and think about this issue for a second, I think what you'd recognize for yourself is that none of these schools of thought really work completely for at least us at this stage of life. If I ask you that your connection to God is based on a rational philosophy, it's based on conceptualization, it's based on proving, it's based on... I think all of you would realize that, A, that's not very meaningful, and B, that it's impossible. Does anybody know the name of the secular philosopher that spent all of his life talking about these issues? About the nature of knowledge and the limitation of knowledge? What's that? So Aristotle was actually the Rambam very much patterned himself after Aristotle. I'm sure many of you have heard of Immanuel Kant. So Immanuel Kant really almost put a damper on all of medieval philosophy, of recognizing that a person's brain can only understand a certain amount, there's a limitation to knowledge, etc., etc. And if we try to have some type of conceptual understanding of Judaism and connection to God and faith that's conceptual, I think we'll find ourselves lacking, we'll find ourselves frustrated, and we'll find that our faith is somewhat deadened, right? You can sit around talking and philosophizing, but that's not a life of emunah that feels alive, that feels passionate, that feels real, and therefore many people don't connect to the Rambam and those Rishonim. Now, on the flip side, Liora, what you said is absolutely true also. Who wants to go through life just with emunah pshuta? Oh, I believe, right? Do you know anything? My grandmother, blessed memory, she was a wonderful person. And she used to have these like 20-minute benchings in her apartment in Brooklyn. And she wasn't at all a conceptual person. She wasn't a thinking person. She just believed, and that was it. That's very nice. But I think what all of us find in our life is that that's not a meaningful depth of faith, right? Just sort of simple faith. I know that God's there. I know the Torah was given. For certain people, maybe that works. Maybe for other people, it doesn't work. Just to go through life where a person becomes a deep, conceptual, thinking person, but their emunah liora doesn't go past the way that a 6-year-old thinks about God, I think we all recognize the inherent challenges in that. And the question is there, where does that leave us? Where we live a life where everything is based on faith. Everything is through faith, our faith in the Torah, our faith in God, our faith in mitzvahs, our faith in Mesorah. But our depth of faith often is not there. And we're trapped often, historically, between these two poles of trying to either be too rational or too simple. Where do we find meaningful faith from? So I want to just mention that what seems to be incumbent upon us is to find avenues of genuine, meaningful faith. Not necessarily any faith that's rational, doesn't necessarily have to be rational, not faith that's simple, but a meaningful derech or meaningful derachim that we feel connected deeply, emotionally to faith in a way that's very meaningful and that's very, very alive. And how does a person cultivate that in their life? Genuine, deep faith. Again, not necessarily rational, not simple, but something that feels very real, something that feels very alive. Just something that I often struggle with, and not to speak too personally, but like you, I imagine like many of you, you go through days where you feel exceptionally connected to God, exceptionally connected to Torah and to Tefillah, and days where you feel distant from that. You feel days where you feel very embracing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and days where you feel distant from that. And I tried, again personally, to think of different drachim, different mahalchim that feel meaningful to me personally of how to connect to faith. Now let me just share a few of those with you. I'm sure these are things that you've thought about and things that are very simple, but again, for me are meaningful and hopefully for you as well. One area of faith that I find meaningful is something that was discussed by Rav Avram Ibn Daud. Anybody hear Rav Avram Ibn Daud? He was the original Ravid, not the Ravid we think about, the commentary of the Rambam, but the Rav Avram Ibn Daud was the Ravid who lived in the south of France in the 12th century, and he had to often fight and do battle with the Karaim, and the Karaites said that we don't believe in the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh. And Rav Avram Ibn Daud, the Ravid, see, he wrote a sefer called, listen to this amazing sefer, the Sefer HaKabbalah, nothing to do with Kabbalah, but Sefer HaKabbalah, where among other things, he traces back the lineage of Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu until his day, without any unbroken chain, that every single generation of how the Mesorah was passed on, who taught who, and where were they, and what country were they in, and which base medrash were they associated with. And Rav Avram Ibn Daud, Sefer Kabbalah, he says, I can trace back from Moshe Rabbeinu to this moment. I remember for many years when I was in Rosh Chodesh Shir, and I look at Rosh Chodesh, and I would sit in the room, and I would start to think about the following thought. I would think about the fact that Rosh Chodesh's Rebbe, of course, was... anybody? Was Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather was Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim's grandfather through marriage was the Nitziv, and the Nitziv's Rebbe was, or his father-in-law was Rav Yitzchak Volozhin, Rav Yitzchak Volozhin's father was Rav Chaim Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin's Rebbe was the Vilna Gaon, right? And then you can easily go back another 250 years, back to the time of the Ramah, from the Ramah back to the time of the Rambam. And the Rambam writes, in the beginning of his Mishnah Torah, that you can trace back every single generation from Har Sinai to the writing of the Gemara. So you can sit in Rosh Chodesh Shir, or anybody's Shir, and think back every single generation from Har Sinai until the present. And that belief in Mesorah and what we're doing, and you pick up like a Shulchan Aruch, it's not just sort of some type of like made up idea made by the Rosh or made by the Rif, but you can literally trace back and that connection to learning, the connection to the Mesorah, to me was allows me in the process of learning, the process of life, to feel deeply connected to our Mesorah, deeply connected to Talmud Torah. That's one avenue. There's another avenue that I always thought about. Is when you think about the Nitzchius of Klal Yisrael, and you think about Am Yisrael, you think about every stage of Jewish history, and you think about the eternal nature of Am Yisrael, and what a sense of Hashkachas Hashem. Again, Emunah sometimes is so challenging and so difficult. But we think about our nation and our country, and how many times we were on the brink of disaster, and still the Am Yisrael still exists. Sometimes I know it's very simple I sometimes find myself cultivating and developing a depth of faith when I see genuine giants of the Misora. There was one time many years ago, I was standing on a street corner when I was a little younger than you. And when I was a kid in high school, I was always very philosophical, and I always went through different stages of belief and doubt. And I was sitting there as a Shana Aleph student back in 1990. And right in front of me drove Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. All of you have seen pictures of Shlomo Zalman. He was a Nifter, obviously, before you were born. And Shlomo Zalman, before most of you were born. And he was sitting in the passenger car just as I was standing by Supersol, the corner of Rehov Agrod and Keren HaYesod. And he was sitting in the passenger side, and I was sort of standing on the street. And he drove up sort of like right in front of me. And I'm looking at him. I was like almost like in shock to sort of see him like sitting there. And I wasn't exactly sure like what the protocol was when you see sort of the Gadol HaDor. I don't know if you give like a thumbs up or like, you know. So I sort of gave this like somewhat like awkward like little wave. And he also gave me this like beautiful wave with this unbelievable smile that most of you have seen in pictures of Shlomo Zalman. And there's something that radiated on his face of this purity of spirit and this like genuine tahara that made me feel that with whatever question a person may have in life, but that face and that personality and that behavior and that essence of a person was an outgrowth of a system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously must be present in. And seeing a person of that elk and the many people before him and the many people after him, where you see what a life of engagement in Torah and what a life of engagement in faith and a life of tefillah and a life of tahara, what that brings a person and what that renders and what comes out of that experience. It makes you feel, you know what, that there's so much here and there's so much in a life of connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And just the pure connection of greatness. The thing that for me personally just created a real connection to faith. And lastly, we spoke about Misora, about Klal Yisrael, about personalities. Lots of something that's discussed by the Baal HaTanya and by the Maharal and by many others is a person's cognition of their own soul, of their own neshama. A person ever has a moment following in the Elah, following other meaningful times of their life, where they just feel the aliveness of their soul, the aliveness of their neshama. I mentioned before in Bruria, when I had Shoshana and others here, that a number of years ago when I was working for YU, and I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I had rented a car, and I went to Yeshivat in Tivarie for the morning to go speak to the Rebbeim and the students there. Then afterwards, I drove up to Tzfas. There's something more beautiful than driving in Eretz Yisrael and just not being in a rush and driving around the streets and driving on the roads and coming out and looking at the country. And I drove to Tzfas just as the sun was coming down. And I was walking through the streets listening to Shlomo Katz. Slept like right in the ascent, like in the old city of Tzfas. And it was a moment of an absolute aliveness of a person's soul. When a person feels that, and they know that there's an eternal quality inside of them, and they know that there's some eternal nature, and the Maharal describes Emunah as being a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gift that allows a person to be cognizant of their own eternal nature, their own soul. So when a person has those moments, there's no need for a moon of pshuta necessarily. There's no need to be a rational philosopher. There's no need to prove God. There's no need to have to prove the Misora. When you have those moments of a genuine spiritual aliveness, where you know that there's a piece of you that is transcendent, that's like a depth of emunah that doesn't need to be challenged. It doesn't need to be qualified. And our only challenge in life, and our real avodah in life, is how to take those moments where we have a purity of faith. How to take those moments where our trust in the Misora, where our trust in Klal Yisrael, where our trust in the greatness of Torah brings, where our trust in our own spirituality and our own godliness, so to speak, where those moments where that's so clear, and how to have that be something that manifests itself into life, into daily tefillah, into daily brachos, into daily awareness of the world around us, into who we are, into what we think about, into what we speak about. How to make that bridge between that faith that is genuine and deep and thoughtful and real, and how to make that bridge to daily life that feels alive and vibrant and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a part of. And that's the real avoda. That's the real challenge. So I look forward to us speaking again in the future. Just again mention, as we said, that Emunah is something that has been discussed from the dawn of time. There's a discussion by the Rambam, the Ramban, the Bahag, and Rechase Kreskis, that is Emunah a mitzvah? The Rambam says it's absolutely a mitzvah. Is that mitzvah yediyah? Is that mitzvah just Emunah? The Ramban explains the position of the Bahag. Rechase Kreskis says the Torah never mandates belief. We have a discussion of the major machlokas rishonim of what is the nature of faith, what is the nature of exploration of faith, where the Rambam and others say it has to be rational, it has to be thoughtful, it has to be philosophical, we have to be able to prove God's existence. If we don't do that, there's something which is lacking, and the position of the Rivash and the Rashba that said just the opposite. We discussed that what's incumbent upon a person, each person in their own life, to cultivate a meaningful depth of faith in their own life, and hopefully make the bridge between that depth of faith and living lives of vibrancy of faith as well. I want to give all of you a bracha. I know that most of you were in Eretz Yisrael the last year or the year before. And it's so difficult when a person leaves Yerushalayim and a person comes to New York. New York's a great city. We have just 1 minute left. But it's a great city because it's a very alive place. You walk down the street, the people are alive, the place is alive. But it's honestly the place that you go and you sit up on a roof and you conceptualize like God's existence. Or you think about, you know, whatever. You have some meaningful... I saw Tali a couple years ago in the old city going to learn on top of Eish HaTorah. There's very little opportunities like that. Well, I have to say, my favorite times in YU, I used to go up on the roof of the YU building late at night after night Seder and look out to the city and try to avoid getting arrested by the burn staff. So you have like very little of those moments of just stripping away everything that's external, stripping away the stresses and the strains and the noise and the running and the midterms, and just sort of connect to that inner point of a person. And that's difficult here. It becomes even more difficult as you move on from here and you have families and you have jobs and you have... And I give all of you a bracha that becomes a central part of your life. Just to strip away everything in a way that's in the world, I won't say the world of falseness, but the world of physicality, the world of form, and to get down to the world of the soul, the world of the essence of man. Hopefully by doing that, a person is tzaddik, b'emunah so yichye, a person lives in the world of emunah. Hopefully all of you have a wonderful rest of this man. Look forward to joining together to share words of Torah in the future. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.